you know, since we've been involved, you can go back to 2013 National League final, there was a point in it. Dean Kamen scored a point to win. So up in Oma in February in the National League, yeah, we just finished stronger than them, but it, again, it was really only a kick of a ball between the teams. In recent weeks, in the quarterfinal round robin game, you know, again there was just a kick of a ball between us. Last year, in the semi final, the perception seemed to be afterwards that they didn't play as well as they can. That's for sure. But a lot closer. Our perception was it was a lot closer if they had taken some of their chances in the second half, particularly in the early stages of that second half. I think the final few moments of that game would have been interesting. So anytime we have played Tyrone in recent years, it's been very close, and I think their support base from listening to them, that you know they rightly have great expectations for this Tyrone team in the final. I think you look at their scoring prowess over their 10 championship games. They've scored 17 goals over 160 points. That's a phenomenal reflection of their attacking prowess. And even when we played them in Omagh, I do recall they had played Roscommon the previous week, and the week before that they played Cork, and in those two games they scored 7 goals and 44 points. Now that in any man's language is an impressive tally. So we back then we're aware of it, and we're aware of it going into the final, how potent they can be. You know, Conor McAlissey is obviously playing well, and Niall Sludden, you know, Brennan off the bench, or if he starts, is potent. Bradley as well, Brennan too. So they've lots of forwards up front. But you look at Colin McShane, you know, scoring that point against Mead, and you know, it shows the determination of that group. Tiernan McCann, the Donnelly Butter scoring as well. Hart, you know, from wing back. Even Colin Kavanagh, you know, the last day against Monaghan, getting the point from play. So they're not just obviously not Morgan Kickle Orange phrase. So it's not just about their full forward line, that they're very impressive, and you know, those stats kind of back up how impressive they are. And then we all know their defensive work has been as always exemplary. They're a very demanding team to break down, and you know, they limited us to 14 scores up in Omagh. So you know, it's going to be a tough game.
And in terms of the place of this Dublin team in the history of the GA, like when you played, as I was saying, those finals in the 90s and semi-finals in the 90s were really close. You know, you might lose by a point, or even the final you eventually won, and there's that famous shot of you going down on your knees and kind of being delighted at the end. There was only a point in it at the end of it, and this Dublin team have been on the right side of point victories. So trying to keep the players grounded, is that a challenge because they happen to come out on the right side in those games versus, say, you know, the difficulty that you guys in those tight games had as well?
I think you know, at this stage, this part of the season, and in championship football in general, you know, it's all about the day on the day. So, you know, we take nothing for granted, and you know, the players have experienced that from the club football. That doesn't matter what tag you have going into the game; it's all about producing the performance. And I suppose that the environment that these players have created for themselves, it's all about the team and about it's representative football. And you know, Gaelic games, it's probably in amateur sport, it's one of the purest forms of it. You know, they all come from there's over 20 different clubs represented in this football team, Dublin football team, at the moment. And when they play, they're acutely aware that they're representing a parish, a school they came from, a community, a club, their family. And then it's managing teams, Declan and Jason and Paul, Jane and myself, Hannah and myself, that our job is to try and blend them together to be the best for Dublin. And if we can do that as a management team and get them to play their best, you know, we've more or less done our job, and then the players take over.
And in terms of the preparation now over the next few weeks, how much of it is out in the pitch, out in Anz or out here or wherever you're training, versus bringing them into a room and showing them videos of Tyrone or showing the videos of their own play? Like, how much of it is on the pitch and how much is off the pitch?
A lot of it's on the pitch. Obviously, you need to do your due diligence on the opposition, and we respect every team that we play in equal measure. And as I said, you just look at 10 games Tyrone have played, that's 17 goals and 160 points does grab your attention, so you need to pay respect to them. But I think we've always gone after our own game and trying to get our own game plan right, and that's what we can control and influence as best we can. So yeah, there's a bit of work to be done with a tactics board, but you know, when we go on the field of play, there's obviously some work to be done on a tactical dimension, but it's in the main It's about practicing the core skills of the game. That has been always true to Dublin football, and you do try to play as best we can and open, honest attacking brand of football as best we can. Obviously, defence is a part of your game as well, but so we go after the skills of the game, the catching, the kicking, the fielding, the point scoring. That has always served as well.
Fourth Ireland final in a row, Leinster titles, league titles. How do you keep your speeches to the players fresh in terms of motivation or tactical stuff? The fact that you've been preparing them for so many big games in recent years, and it's the same voice they're hearing as such.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. We don't do too much talking in the dressing room before the game. Things have changed. I think in recent years, banging tables and putting newspaper cuttings of the opposition, what they might say about you. I think those days have long gone. We certainly like to empower the players and let them take the lead, and we're very much in their coattails. I think the final moments is just getting them one or two pointers, one or two reminders of what they need to do. But as I said, most of it is player driven, and because they live the game on the pitch, and the Gaelic Croke Park or any other ground, it's a long way from one sideline to the other sideline, and so you're a long way away from most of the players on the pitch. So you have to empower them to make the decisions on the field of play, and then it's our job in game or leading to the game to try and pick the best set of 15 that will best represent the group to meet whatever challenge that we're going to face.
As the manager, is it easy or hard to enjoy the All Ireland final day yourself, given you've won the last three, but that it has to be an environment of pressure for you, just 80,000 people there, the game is ongoing, and you're the man aside and trying to help your team. Do you actually enjoy the actual 70 minutes?
I suppose at the end of the game, you kind of embrace the expectation, the pressure. Certainly we do in the Dublin football team anyway. It's great to have that. I prefer to have that than to be looking at some other team having it. And then in the game, it's just about trying to be present and trying to look and read the game as best you can, so you're doing the right thing for the player. So the emotion of it, that the supporters might enjoy, and that highs and lows, I just feel that it can affect your decision making process. So it's just trying to be as present as you can in that particular moment, and try and do the right thing for the team, and then you can enjoy it afterwards.